Welcome to Literary Lark, the show that examines trends in indie publishing, fiction, and anything related to books. Welcome to Literary Lark, episode 12. I'm so glad that you've joined me on the podcast today. In case you haven't listened to the previous episodes, there's 11 of them, so you should check them out. There's all kinds of good stuff in the previous episodes, ranging from writing advice to marketing advice and just a few tidbits about my own writing journey. Before I get into the actual main content of this podcast, I just want to give a few updates on where I'm at, how things are going in 2016, and goals that I've set and where the process is for those. So in my last episode, I kind of had a little bit of a rant dealing with the state of self-publishing for my own writing career, if you want to call it that. And so far, things have been looking up. It's gotten a bit more. I was a bit dreary last time. I think this time things are looking better, and I'm just plowing right into 2016 with a renewed sense of purpose and writing like a madman. So, but currently, I've got things that are on the way. There is a novella, a fantasy novella, that will be a prequel to The Blade Air. Not a direct prequel, but just events happening a bit before The Blade Air, and I'm hoping that it'll be a very entertaining read for those of you that have picked up The Blade Air and are fantasy fans. I've made it pretty action-packed and with a good focus on one of the main characters from The Blade Air, Silas. So if you are interested in reading the novella, you know, before it's released on Amazon and other places like that, then please subscribe to my mailing list. There'll probably be a link below in the show notes to do so, and you will not only get a copy of that novella once it's ready. I'm still going through some of the editing processes, and it's off to beta readers right now, but you will get the first copies of that to read at your leisure, and also receive updates on a lot of my other upcoming works, as well as, you know, if you're on my mailing list, I'm going to treat you right. You're not going to get a bunch of useless junk in your inbox. You're going to get free stories, free previews to stories, and a lot of times I like to just give as much free stuff as I can, which you should be doing. If you have a mailing list, by the way, and if you're an author listening to this, free stuff is good. Your audience will love you for it, and not just, you know, meaningless updates all the time. So, okay, with that out of the way, so in this podcast episode, I really want to focus on kind of my main goal right now for 2016, which is essentially completing the fantasy series that I've started. It's taken me way too long to get this thing done, and I really want to just push through it this year and get the next installment of the trilogy out around summertime, and then do something unprecedented for me, which is try to get the third part of the trilogy published and ready before the year is over. So two books this year, it's going to happen. Hopefully. I'm cautiously optimistic. But one of the things that I wanted to share with you listeners, for those of you that are writers and that either have not published a book yet or are still on that journey, that's kind of the same thing, I just realized. Okay, so either you've published a book or not. That's what I meant to say. I overcomplicated that. Sorry. So I've learned of, just kind of by happenstance, learned about this great podcast which I haven't listened to all the backlist episodes, but it's run by John Dumas, John Lee Dumas, I believe that's his name, Entrepreneur on Fire. So if you're into business and entrepreneurial pursuits, which if you're a self-published author, you are an entrepreneur, just FYI. The Freedom Journal is something that he came up with. It was a Kickstarter, and I'll have a link in the show notes on this, that basically the Freedom Journal, the whole purpose of it is for you to come up with your biggest goal, whatever it might be. It could be, you know, fitness related, business related, personal goal, whatever, and to complete this goal in 100 days. So, and this isn't just, you know, he put some parameters around the goal. It should be a SMART goal. It should be something that is attainable. It should be something that has a time element to it. And there's all kinds of different categories that define this goal, which would make it a goal that's worthy of completing in 100 days. So this isn't something like, you know, I want to do the whole 30, you know, or something like that. This would be something, you know, I'm looking to start up a new business. I'm looking to self-publish my first book, and so on. So for me, even though I've, you know, self-published two books already, I feel that this next book, the sequel to The Blade Air, is just going to be a big project. And I've already spent some time getting it planned out, plotted out, and what inevitably happens is I get bogged down in the details of researching this thing and trying to make everything connect with the previous work, and it suffers from, you know, this I just get this decision paralysis where I don't move forward and I just continue because, you know, as a writer you want things to be perfect, but things are never perfect. And I've struggled with that a lot in my writing career, just to make things perfect, to make things pristine on the first draft, which is a big mistake. Don't do that. And I really want to avoid that this time around. And if you're in that same place, I think the Freedom Journal would be a great tool for you. Essentially, how it works is this journal catalogs each day. You have specific mini bite-sized goals that are leading up to your big goal, which is, in my case, it's to publish this book in 100 days. So from first draft to click and publish on Amazon, that's essentially what we're looking at. So all this, you know, the writing, the different drafts, the editing, marketing, all that is going to be wrapped up into this 100-day goal. Originally, I was going to do the two books for the second and third books of the trilogy. But then I realized that was a bit more than I could chew right now. I have a full-time job, family, two kids. It just wouldn't happen, I don't think. I think I would go crazy. And I think my wife would go crazy. So to spare her and my children, I decided to cut that in half and just make it one book in 100 days. I realized that there are self-published authors who are very prolific, who can just pump out books in a month. That's not me. And I often feel that there are many authors who are very, you know, adept at getting a first draft out and just writing and, you know, getting everything wrapped up in a month or month and a half, and ready to send to their editor. That's just not where I'm at. It'd be great, it'd be awesome if one day that was the case, but right now I have to be realistic, and the reality is that 100 days is a good challenge for me, and it might be for you too. So essentially what this is going to entail is for about 60 of those 100 days, I am going to pump out 1,500 words a day, which is a huge thing for me. I think the best my average is 500 to 800 a day, but I suffer from not being able to kill my internal editor. A lot of the time when I am writing, it's you know how it goes. If you're, you know, if you're a writer, obviously you should be if you're listening to this. But if you're a reader, hey, welcome. I hope you're getting something out of this. Maybe you want to write a book someday. So maybe my random ramblings will have an effect on you in some way, some meaningful way. I hope so. So when you're writing, the best practice is to not even listen to that nagging voice in your head that says, okay, that sentence is crap. That's usually what goes on in my head, and I'm sure it goes on in lots of writers' heads. We are very self-conscious about what we write, and we want it to be perfect. Want that first draft to be perfect, but that is unrealistic. First drafts are never perfect. They always are bad, and even when we put in as much of the laborious editing of each word that goes on the page. So I have decided to be even more willing to kill my darlings, so to speak, and just continue to write, not even care if there's a comma splice there or there's that word is really not the best word for that. The point is to, and this is something that I've learned in NaNoWriMo, but clearly have not taken completely to heart, is the point is just to get words on the page, just to reach a word count and have a completed manuscript by that end point of, for me, it'll be 60 days. I'm hoping that 1,500 words a day will get me to 90,000 to 100,000 words. That's about where I'm estimating that the sequel will be at. But we'll see. It could be longer or shorter. But I really want to enjoy the writing process and not get so bogged down in the details. And that, I think that's why I have chosen to really plot out this next book. I really think that it will help me to have everything plotted out. When I wrote Thy Kingdom Come, I did this as well. I plotted out each chapter, and it wasn't anything overly specific. It was just kind of a basic outline. You know, chapter one, the main character does this, and you know, just kind of the highlights of what happens in that chapter. And obviously, those were tweaked as I was writing and to fit the flow of how things were going. And that's kind of what I'm doing for this round of writing. And I encourage this for anyone, even if you are a pantser, if you're someone that just likes to get right down to it, doesn't have a plot, doesn't have any, maybe just has a very generic idea of what their book's going to be about and just likes to fly by the seat of their pants, I still recommend this because I feel that you will still get stuck in certain areas. The dreaded writer's block will hit you. Not everyone, but I feel that there's just something about writing a book. I mean, writing a book is a big deal. I think when you've written, you know, a few books, that you get as a writer become very nonchalant about the process of writing a book. I mean, for me, it's more like, yeah, I wrote a book, but I want to write 12 books, you know? So you get very, and I kind of wonder if Stephen King or any of those really, you know, James Patterson or these big guys in the industry, if they ever get like this where they're just like, oh yeah, so I wrote a book. I want to write, you know, 100 more books, or where the accomplishment is never good enough. I imagine that it probably might be the case, but writing a book is a huge thing. It's not some easy undertaking. I mean, we're talking lots of words, lots of pages, lots of time, and I think within that amount of time, with all that work you put in, it's very easy to get stuck if you don't have some kind of a plot or outline that will guide you when you get stuck. And Sean Coyne, who I mentioned on the podcast before, he mentions this in his book. His book is The Story Grid. Great book. totally recommend it for anybody that is seriously considering writing a book or just a career in writing. And it just talks about the fundamentals of writing, the fundamentals of story, and hitting all the high notes in your story, things that readers are looking for. There are genre conventions. There are tropes that people in different genres are looking for. A lot of times as authors, I know I do this, and I think all writers do this, especially newbies, we think that we got to do something completely original. It can't just be the same old story that you've seen in the movies or in books before. It's got to be completely original. So we throw all these tropes and conventions out the window because they're cliche. You know, nobody wants to read that again. You'd be surprised how wrong that thinking is, because whenever someone picks up a book and they think it's what they are expecting and it's not, they usually don't like it. You know, if you gave a fantasy reader a book that doesn't deliver on the basic concepts of fantasy, they are going to be disappointed. And so you can be original within the framework of those conventions and do them well, rather than throw them out the window and expect that people are just going to flock to this, you know, literary achievement that you've done. So don't do that. Just continue to stick to the conventions that are popular within the genre and be creative with those conventions rather than completely getting rid of them. So, killing the internal editor, going back to that, is tough. And some of the things that I recommend, I say this for myself because these are things I have not completely done faithfully all the time. But just see writing as a creative endeavor. Don't even look at it from a critical point of view. That comes later. For now, it's just kind of give in to the, you know, whatever you want to call it, that creative musing and to give in to your muse and just to start writing freely and not getting bogged down and plot holes or details. And I think in the past I did get bogged down by those things because I wanted it to be perfect. I didn't want to go back and rewrite, because I hate rewrites. I don't think there's any author who likes rewrites. I hate having to go back and realize, oh, that person should have been killed in that chapter, and why are they in this chapter, and why are they in the castle when they should be here, based on what was in the last chapter, all that stuff. That stuff drives me nuts. So that's why I get so OCD about certain things and want them to be perfect on the first draft, so that I don't have to do a rewrite or I have to go back and, you know, fix stuff, because that's not what writers do. Writers just write. We don't fix stuff. But no, I don't leave all those worries behind. Just live in a, you know, put on your rose-colored glasses and just think that your writing is already perfect as you write it. And don't even give in to the editor. The editing part comes later. So always keep that in mind. And I'll do that for myself also. So some of the things that I'm going to do in this 100 days, and you are free to join me. I'm starting March 1st to really roll out this campaign, if you want to call it that. I don't know. Of writing, where it's 60 days of writing. So I think I said that before. 60 days of writing, 1,500 words a day. And then the next 40 days is the editing process, sending it off to my editor, getting a cover designer, and the marketing, getting all that marketing stuff in place and the pre-launch stuff in place. So 100 days of that. So I challenge you, March 1st, 1,500 words a day. Let's see if you can do it. It'd be awesome if there's some of you that comment on this and or send me an email and let me know that you're doing it too, because I think it would be awesome if there was a group of us doing this together and kind of encouraging each other, because that's always helpful. So some of the things that I'm going to do in this 100 days to help with the word count is I'm going to get up earlier each day, probably like 5:30. We'll see how that goes. It's kind of hard when you have two young kids that wake you up sometimes in the middle of the night. But coffee helps. I've learned that coffee really helps. I know that's kind of a no-brainer. However, 100 words or 1,500 words a day, and one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to take hopefully more than one, but at the least one writing retreat, which should basically be full day only writing, either just in a nice setting. You'll be surprised how it's just getting yourself away from the house, from what you're normally used to, somewhere else, somewhere peaceful and tranquil, like a library or a cabin in the woods, if you can afford that. It just does so much to get you in that mode of writing. And then also not having the usual distractions around you that would keep you from hitting those word counts you want to hit. So I'm hoping to get in a writing retreat either next month or in April that will hopefully just be a big boost to the writing count. And I actually have a post on blog about some of the coolest places to take writing retreats, and I'll put a link in the show notes for this because it's just kind of cool to look through, and if you're ever interested in looking at one of these places, I've got info on that post for you. So that's one thing I'll be doing, writing retreat. Another thing I'll be doing is, so there's getting up early, writing retreat, and I have a friend who is also an author, and we're probably going to set up some times to just do a write-in. And if you've done NaNoWriMo, you've heard of this before, where you get together with other fellow writers and just pick a location and you just write. And there's something about hearing, you know, the clicking of a keyboard and having someone next to you who's got kind of that same passion, drive to pump out a bunch of words on screen that is very motivating. So I'm hoping to set up a few of these with my author friend and maybe with other local writers to just help with the word count. So those are three things. Very simple, not overly... I mean, there's really... Writing, there's nothing that's very grandiose or epic about getting yourself to write. It's really just sitting in the seat and typing and going at it. In some ways, it's very boring. But once you're finished, once you have the finished manuscript, it feels amazing to have put so many words together into a cohesive, coherent manuscript. Maybe not always coherent. It depends on how your first draft looks. But it's really awesome. And one thing I wanted to mention with regard to plotting and getting things kind of an outline together before you write a book, I found this really valuable resource. It's called Scapple. I will have a link to it. It's this amazing tool for authors that is done by the same people that have created Scrivener. If you don't know what Scrivener is, shame on you if you're a writer. It's amazing. It's an amazing tool. Better than Word. Don't use Microsoft Word. That's not the best tool for you as a writer, especially if you're looking to publish a book. But Scapple, essentially all it is a program that gives you a visual way to write out notes. It's not rocket science. I mean, it's literally you write a note on this blank canvas, type it out, and then you can link the note through little arrows or... I mean, think of it as a notebook. You have a notebook, you open your notebook, and then you're just jotting down notes. They could just be random notes all over the place. But then as you've filled that page, there might be things that are connected. So, you know, you're writing some qualities of a certain character, and you make a list, and you want to connect it to a plot point that you wrote on the other side of the page. Well, Scapple allows you to do that and then connect it and rearrange things around. And it's kind of like mind mapping, but not completely. I initially downloaded it, and there's a free trial, 30-day free trial. So you have nothing to lose. I mean, come on. And I originally was going to use it to create a timeline for my story, which I'm doing it for that. And also I've used it for plotting and outlining each character's motivations, their weaknesses, strengths, all that stuff. It is amazing. So you should totally download it and see how it can help you with your organization, because I am not good at organizing. I have notes all over the place, and I needed a tool that would just bring it all together and not have it scattered everywhere. You know, random papers here and there, and I've got stuff in my notebook, I've got stuff in Scrivener. I just want it all in one place. And the other cool thing is that Scapel works with Scrivener, so you can just drag and drop all of your note-taking in Scapel right into Scrivener and have it easily accessible while you're writing. So it's pretty sweet. I will link to it and totally recommend it. Okay, so that pretty much wraps up this episode. I hope you got something out of it, and hopefully by the time the next episode comes out, I'm trying to get more consistent with the podcast. It's tough, I'm not going to lie. But I like doing this, and it helps. A few of you have commented on how much it helps, so I hope to have one out at least each month. So if you're joining me on the 100 days, please just tweet out to me. I've got Twitter, Facebook, Google+, YouTube. I'm on all that stuff. So find the links on the website somewhere. Hopefully visible to you when you're visiting this page to listen to the podcast. And please subscribe to the podcast. I am on Stitcher and iTunes. I think I'm also on Google, whatever they've got, Google Play. So whatever you listen to, whatever you use, whatever tool you use to listen to your podcast, I'm pretty sure I'm on it. So subscribe to the podcast, leave a review, honest review. I'm not going to ask you to give me 5 stars. I know I'm not 5-star worthy, but give a review. And, you know, contact me, find me on my website, danieladorno.com. You should be there. If you're not there right now, then go there, please. I'd love to hear from you. So have a wonderful day, and good luck in your writing endeavors.